If you have your Bible, open it to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'd like for us to consider some statements that are made at the end of Paul's life. If you look at chapter 4 and verse 6, your Bible may have a heading that says, like mine does, it says, Paul's Valedictory. And maybe yours has that heading in your Bible, but the word valedictory is, it has reference to a farewell speech. That's what the word means. And this is exactly that. I mean, Paul is coming to the end of his life. He is in prison, and he's about to be beheaded, and he knows that. And this is the last book that he writes. It's the last chapter of the last book. And he's right down to the last few verses that he will record by inspiration. And so in that sense, it really is Paul's valedictory. He is telling us some final farewells. And I think that one of the things that I find interesting in these farewells is that he talks about people. Isn't that what really matters when you come to the end of your life? It's not like the garage door and the window that doesn't seal well and our houses and our cars and all that stuff. That doesn't matter. When you get to the end of your life, those final words that you leave, it's about people. It's about relationships. And what I would like to accomplish in tonight's lesson is just, well, maybe threefold. One is to pull your friends closer to you. God has put us in a church, in a family, and we are bound together by a common love, and we have relationship, and we need to take advantage of that. We're strengthened by it and encouraged by it, and I hope that tonight's lesson will cause you to think, I need these people in my life. I need to draw them closer. The second thing is that I hope that you'll realize is that we do at some point need to identify our enemies as well. That's the flip side of that. Paul had people in his life that worked against him, and he knew who they were. And then the last point that I'd like for us to stress and to come away with is to remember that while your friends may come and go and while you may have enemies, God is always by your side. He will never leave you. He will stand with you through thick and thin. And so keep those three points in mind as we discuss some of the people in God's life, or Paul's life. One of the things that I was going to do, I loved as a child Mr. Rogers. He's all about neighborhood, right? And he wants to be your neighbor. And there was a song even on Sesame Street as I was thinking about this sermon, Who Are These People in Your Neighborhood? You remember what I'm talking about. And, you know, I thought about putting a little background up about all of that. But there were some people in Paul's life. We have people in our life. Some we meet and it's just a short little thing and they disappear and we never see them again. Some will stick with us to the day we die. And Paul gets to the end of his life, and he has some things to say about the people who have crossed his path. And I want us to consider those people in Paul's life. And then as you're doing that and thinking about him, I want you to internalize this and think about the people in your life. Let's begin in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. The Apostle Paul realizes, this is it. I'm already being offered. I'm giving up my life as I write. It's about come to an end for me. And, you know, as I survey my life, I've fought a good fight. And I've kept the faith. I've been faithful. I haven't turned my back on God. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Paul made mistakes, and we all make mistakes. But when you look at his life, it was characterized by faithfulness. And he said, you know, we've run this Christian race, and well, I've run it, and I have finished it, and I've kept the faith, and therefore, I have a crown of righteousness. How can he be so bold? How can he be so sure? Well, the assurance is not in him, but in the God who made the promise. You stay faithful to me. You keep the faith. You finish the course. You run the race. And I will give this to you. That's why Paul's confident. He's not boasting in his accomplishments. He knows his frailties and failures better than anybody else. And he had some, and well, he called himself the chief of sinners. But his confidence is in the Lord that gives the promise. It's in his faithfulness that we can have confidence in the day of judgment. I look back at Paul's life, and he is telling the truth about keeping the faith and so forth. If you have your, keep your place there in 2 Timothy, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I just want to remind you of the kind of man that we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is defending himself against some who would doubt his genuineness and authenticity. And he says, well, listen, you know, if anybody could brag, it would be me. I can stand up against anybody and go toe-to-toe with them when it comes to what did I do for Jesus. And here's what he began, verse 24. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means 39 stripes. You could be beaten up to 40 times, but they would stop at 39 in case they miscounted, and so they wouldn't, break their law. But five times, can you imagine what he must have looked like? You know, when you get around to the fourth time or the fifth time that he was beaten by these soldiers or civic officials, I can imagine them removing his garment and exposing his back, and it must have shocked the guys that were about to beat him. Whoa. I mean, the welts and the scars, he must have been, well, just mutilated. But five times he went through that. But that's not all. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. You know, they took those, it wasn't a whip, but it was a rod, and they were flexible, and you would hit them, and it wouldn't cut your skin. It would literally break your skin open. It would just break your skin. He had that done to him three times. And there was, he said, well, you know, well, there was that time I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, and there's another one to add to that. Four times total. He said, a day and a night I've spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He doesn't even describe what those are, but you can imagine, can't you? You know, I have a friend that lives in Nigeria, and when he was 9 years old, his family sold him to another man who wanted to use him as a shepherd for his sheep. And at the age of nine, this man who didn't have love for him, just he was a worker, he purchased him, would send him out on his own to protect the sheep. And my friend told me on occasions there were hyenas, there were lions, and he was 9 years old, and he was out there throwing them. How many times must he have feared for his life? Paul said, I've been in cities where I was in peril, and I've been in the wilderness when I was in peril, and whether it was from wild animals or robbers and thieves and people who hated him for the message, this man was amazing in his faithfulness. Nothing dissuaded him. He said further, I was in weariness. You know, he's not immune. He's not some super guy. He felt what we feel. And he said, I was weary. I didn't know, you know, I was weary and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these other things which come upon me daily, there was that deep concern that I had for the church. Paul's my hero. Apart from Jesus, the Apostle Paul is a man that just inspires me because of what he endured. So when he comes to the end of his life, he's just not blowing smoke here. He's not just making people think more of him than what he is. He said, listen, I have kept the faith and I have finished the race, and therefore I believe that God will do what he said he will do for me. And he will. But now he says, let me talk to you about some of the people in my life. And he starts in verse 10. Let's look at the first person that he mentions. He says, be diligent in verse 9 to come to me quickly. For, listen, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world and departed for Thessalonica. Demas was one of Paul's fellow servants. He was a co-laborer. Twice in the Bible, besides this reference, he is mentioned, and in both contexts, he's mentioned as one of Paul's co-workers and fellow laborers, and he sends greeting to the church. You know, he was interested. And now, as Paul writes, he said, you know, this man who was once a helper to me, he's abandoned me. And the reason for his abandonment was he loves the present world. How does that happen? How do people who once were faithful and headed for heaven, how do they turn around and just walk away? They do. And we probably know of people, and we can name people that we know who have done that very thing. And it's heartbreaking. A number of years ago, there was a series of sermon books published by, I don't even know who published it, but it was Great Preachers of Today. Was the title. When you go through that and you see some of the great preachers of today, but some of those great preachers of yesterday became unfaithful before they died. How does that happen? A gospel preacher that our brotherhood thought so much of, they took some of his best sermons and they put them up in a book and said, this is one of the great preachers of today. And those great preachers became unfaithful to the Lord. It can happen to any of us. In Demas's case, it was the world. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, is that sower goes forth and sow. There's some seed that takes root and it grows up, but it gets choked out by the cares of this world. You start, you know, you're headed for heaven, you're going, and between here and there, things happen, and distractions, and shiny things that grab our attention, and we go after those, and we forget about our goal. That happens to people all the time. Paul had people who greatly disappointed him in his life, who crossed his path. Co-workers, fellow laborers, who decided to quit and to turn their back on God. They chose to love this world more than the next. Paul had those people in his life just as we do as well. Then he mentions in verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. Demas has left. This is a man who's about to be killed. He's about to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, Demas is gone. I'm here all by myself. Well, Luke is with me. Luke is the kind of person that came into Paul's life and he came to stay. You know, as you read through the book of Acts, Luke went with Paul on some of those missionary journeys, and he endured with Paul, and here he is with Paul as Paul is awaiting his execution. Luke was with him. He wouldn't leave him. Oh, I can see 100 reasons why you would. Do you know how inconvenient that must have been for Luke? Do you know how risky it must have been for Luke? Do you hang around with guys who are guilty of capital crime as the state saw it? What if they conclude that you're one of them? What might happen to you? Luke didn't abandon Paul. He was a faithful friend. He came into his life and he never left. And so Paul can say of him, Luke, others have left, but not Luke. He's still here with me. Do you know how much that must have meant to Paul? You need to be a Luke for somebody. You need to be a person who comes into somebody's life and is there through thick and thin, and especially when they need you the most. A number of years ago, I remember a man who was dying. He was in the congregation, and he was loved greatly. He had a servant's heart. He came to Christ later in his life, but when he came with all his being. And then he became sick and began to need, his wife was frail, and he began to need 24-hour care and assistance. And they couldn't afford some of the things that were available. And so you know what the church did? They played the role of Luke. They sat 24 hours a day with that man. They got a schedule and said, I'll take this slot and I'll take this slot. Day and night, they took care of that man until he passed away. That's what those men do. We're not going to leave you. You mean too much to us. Paul had that kind of person in his life. And let's consider further the third person, and if I can get this screen to quit. There's John Mark. He's mentioned in the next passage. He says, get John Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. So you had a guy that came into Paul's life and he left. And you have a guy who comes into Paul's life and he stays. And then with John Mark, we know the story. He's one who came into Paul's life and left, but he came back. And Paul was willing to take him back. I'm encouraged by what we have here in this passage. Because in this passage, we see that Paul has changed his mind. Well, there was a sharp contention in Acts chapter 15 about whether we take John Mark with us on the second missionary journey. You see, in Acts 12, he was selected as one who was going to go on that first missionary journey, and he did, and they got started, and I don't know what it was. It was probably something to do with the journey, because Paul was insistent, he's not going with us again, because he bailed on us, and we don't want him. But we get to the end of Paul's life, and what we see here is that Paul says, he's useful to me. I've changed my mind about this young man. He came and he left me, made a mistake, but I want him back. We have too many real enemies to make those who aren't really our enemies our enemies. You know, I see on Facebook and social media and and all sorts of forums, people who get upset with brothers and sisters in Christ. They're brethren in the body of Christ, and they make themselves enemies of each other. And we've got enough real enemies. I'm not trying to minimize. Sometimes we walk all over each other and we hurt each other, it does hurt. But do you have the mind of Paul? Man, you left me. You bailed on me, and we needed you. And I don't want you in my life anymore. I'm not taking you with me anymore. But he changes his mind. I thought that through more. Maybe it was Timothy's life or John Mark's life that changed him. But now he says, bring him to me. He'll be of great comfort to me. We need to make our friends our friends. We've got enough real enemies than to make our friends, people who are working for the same goal and on our side, to make them our enemies. We don't need that in our lives. And I think Paul expresses that here in this appeal for John Mark to come with him. And then here's a third person that he mentions. Look at verse 14, or a fourth person, excuse me. In verse 14, he mentions Alexander the coppersmith. He said, man, he did much harm, and may the Lord repay him according to his works. He said, you also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Sometimes you have people who come in your life and they leave, but they come back. They've changed. And sometimes you have people that are just downright against you. They're trying to destroy you. And that's the case with this man, Alexander the coppersmith. I don't know who he was. There are people that have speculations. There are a couple other Alexanders mentioned in scripture, and whether he was them, I don't know. But I do know this. Whoever he was an enemy of Paul. He resisted his works and his words and made life difficult. He attempted to do him harm. Sometimes we hurt each other, but we're not really trying to. This man, it was his aim. Have you ever known people like that? Have you had people in your lives? You know, I've heard people say before, yeah, Jesus says, love your enemy, and that's easy until you really have one. And then it's hard. And it's true, because we sometimes get frustrated with each other, but they're not really our enemies. But now, this is a man who was an enemy. He truly meant Paul harm. And Paul said, you need to know who those people are and protect yourself from them so you don't get hurt by them. We have people like that in our lives as well. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 2, real quickly. Nehemiah was facing opposition. He was trying to do the work of God, and people were trying to get him by all sorts of means, but finally they just tried this probably a clandestine meeting. Said, why don't you come down here and talk to us about this? And he wouldn't do it. He said, I'm busy doing the work of God. There's no need to come and talk. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to do it. They probably had ill will in mind for him. But he just kept doing the will of God. There are people who mean us harm. Keep them at arm's distance. Know who your friends are and know who your enemies are. And then finally, there is the statement made in verse 17. You know, you have all these people, some come and stay, some come and go, some come and leave and come back, and some never are your friend. They just mean you harm. But listen to how Paul concludes his farewell speech. He said, but, here's the contrast, men come and go, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's just described the people who came into his life, and some were faithful and trustworthy, and some were not so much so. Some were out and out enemies. But there was God who never left his side, who promised to preserve him and to give him an entrance into his heavenly kingdom. And Paul closes by saying, and to him be glory. And I hope that we can develop that same appreciation for the God of heaven in our lives. He will never leave us. The fact that, listen, when Paul said, get this, when Paul says, God, oh, he stood beside me all the way. He has never left me. He's going to preserve me. He's in prison about to be killed when he says that. It's perspective. Paul realizes this life is not all there is. You know, so I lose my life, but I gain heaven because God is with me. He's never abandoned me. He's faithful. The same is true with us. Are you going through difficult times? I get it. It's hard and you don't like it. It's hard to deal with, but God's with you even then. And, you know, when our time comes, we may have to go through a whole lot before we get there. and our lives for a while may be a stretch of, well, miserable. But imagine what it's going to be like, colloquially, I couldn't even say it right, and I'm not going to try again. Imagine what it's going to be like when you open your eyes on the other side and you hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We need to live for that. Don't abandon your God, because he will not abandon you. No matter what happens to you in life, people will come and go, but God will always be by your side. Pull your friends closer and appreciate them. Don't make those who are your friends, don't make them your enemies. You've got enough real ones like Paul did. Deal with each other. Forgive each other, as Paul did with John Mark. And stand with the Lord. And sooner than we all realize it, we will realize his faithfulness in a way that we can only think about right now. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a child of God, I hope that you'll consider the life of Paul, his faithfulness, and the reward that is promised to him because of his lifestyle and his faithfulness to God. If you're not yet a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel? There are a lot of people in your life, and maybe listening to a lot of voices that say, don't mess with that. You don't need that. But those voices will harm you. Those are not voices from your friends. Give your life to the Lord, and he'll bless you. If you have sin in your life now, repent and ask God to forgive you. And he'll be faithful and just to do that. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.